Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 67. Psalm 67 is where we will be. We've been working while y'all are turning there. I think I'm going to put this on again and see if I can't walk a little bit. Experiencing God, the Bible study that we did, we can, back in February, hoping to kind of ignite a passion for us to grow in our faith. And right out of that series, I knew that I wanted to be able to go through the book of Ephesians with us as we talk about the doctrine of and good theology, what it is to be a follower of Christ, leading into the practical application thereof. So sorry. And then I knew that we needed to maybe spend a few minutes or a few moments looking at maybe a little bit deeper in that on the practical side of things and what that is. And so that's kind of why we are looking on Wednesday nights at the spiritual disciplines of our lives, of the Christian life and what it looks like. But I also too wanted to focus on Sunday mornings in a similar fashion. We're talking about this idea that there's this power of one, that we serve one God, obviously. He exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, of course. But we serve this one God, and we have a singular purpose. We talked about that last week, that our purpose should be to bring God glory and to serve Him, serve His kingdom. So that's our singular purpose that we should have. Above anything else, we should seek to bring Him glory, and we should seek to serve His kingdom. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how that might live its way out in our lives. And so we're going to talk about this kind of principle of, like, none of us is perfect, and none of us can be perfect this side of heaven, right? That only Jesus Christ was perfect. But that we exercise our spiritual muscles, so to speak, and we try to get stronger as we go, to look more like Jesus, to be filled with the Spirit, to serve His kingdom, walking in God's ways, of course. That we need to know that we're not going to get it all figured out in one moment or one time, but that we can maybe commit to just perpetually getting better. And we talked last week of this idea of the Kaizen principle of, doing one thing better each day, getting 1% better at a time, not trying to bite off the whole elephant leg at once, but taking one bite at a time and continuing to grow. And so the thought behind that is, as it breaks down into our different areas of life, what can we be doing in our own lives that would be beneficial to us growing perpetually, one step better at a time? And so this morning I wanted us to talk about how we might engage in sharing our faith and telling people about Jesus, and that if our purpose if our purpose is to bring glory to God, then we need to go and to tell of His salvation. Now, as you look at Psalm 67, some of us might think that, the idea of witnessing or sharing our faith is something of a New Testament idea. After Jesus came, He told us to go and make disciples, and so we're supposed to share our faith, and that's where it started, right? And that anything before Jesus was just an idea to get us to Jesus, right? The story of how God selected Israel and, Abraham and then Isaac, Jacob, and then the pulling them out of the promised land with Moses and David coming, and on and on and on until we get to Christ. And that's been the story. We get to Christ so that we can tell of His salvation. But we forget that the idea of reaching the nations is woven all the way through the Old Testament, starting in Genesis. You know, after the fall, God curses the serpent, and his cursing to the serpent is actually a promise and blessing to us, right? As he says, you know, the man and woman, their seed is going to trample you and is going to defeat you. That's a promise to us that one day we'll be rid of our sin, and we'll be rid of our shame, and we'll be rid of death. And you know, that leads up to Abraham, right? Where Abraham is called out from the nation of Ur, and God says he will be a blessing, and that those that bless him will be blessed, and that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through Abraham's progeny, right? And through the nation that he's going to build, that God is going to build, actually. And so we see that from all throughout, right? And the glory of God has always been on display so that the hearts of men might be turned to him. So let's look together at Psalm 67, starting in verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Father, as we read these words, may we be encouraged to walk in your ways and share your salvation with as many as would hear. May this be true in our hearts. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. If our purpose is to bring glory to God, then we must go and tell of his salvation. If our purpose is to bring glory to God, then we need to go and tell of his salvation. Friends, some people will look at this passage and they'll say that this is a song of thanksgiving to God for what he's done. I kind of look at it a little bit differently, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But what I want us to see here in this passage is that even a passage like this has been talking of how God wants to attract the people of the earth. Right? That he always has a mind, not just for Israel and not just for his church, which we are now, but to all the peoples, that they would be counted in. That every single person that's ever been born bears the image of God, has made in his image. And every single person has sinned and has been separated from God, because a holy God cannot abide with a sinful man. And so God came up with a plan so that bridge could be crossed there, the divide could be crossed, where sin has separated us. God has put together a plan to join us together. And so as we read this passage, I think that, you know, we see that the promise has been, or the command, I should say, has been to go and to tell the world about him. Jesus, as he left this earth, told us that was our commission, that you should go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all that I command, right? That's been our commission. And even in Acts, right, Jesus said, as he was going, you will be my witnesses to the world, starting here in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then to the very ends of the earth. This kind of systematic, you know, progression of how we're supposed to share our faith. I think in the same way we see in this passage that there are there's three different recipients or groups of recipients of the message of God's salvation, right? The first is the peoples, right? God talks about the peoples. He says that the peoples should praise him, that the peoples will praise you, O God. In fact, that's the refrain of this song. That's the chorus, that the peoples will praise you. The second is the nations, right? That the nations will know the saving power of God, that they will be glad and sing for joy because of what they know. And then lastly, the psalm talks about the earth, that the earth may know God's way, that the earth would fear God. And we see in this, there's that still that kind of natural progression. Now we start at the end, right? That the earth itself, you know, as it floats through the cosmos and we see all the people therein, that it's God's desire that the whole earth would hear and fear him, hear of his works and fear him and serve him and know him and love him. And God wants that, right? Jesus says to the very ends of the earth, here in this passage, to the ends of the earth, that he has a desire that all of it would be engulfed and enveloped in his grace and mercy, walking in his ways. But we know that on that earth, there's different nations, principalities and regimes and governments and all those different things that kind of that God has placed in those different areas to govern the people, provide safety, security, and life and all those different things. And so those nations need to be focused on, and that the nations themselves should know God and know his ways, right? That we should speak to the times that we're in, right? That the message of salvation is the same no matter where we are, but the way that people are going to receive it and the way that it's going to impact them and the way that it's going to change it is going to differ from folks to folks. Right? There's one of the missionary story that I connected with as a young person or early on is the story of Jim Elliot. And there's a movie out about him and his fellow servants, missionaries, there to the Amazon jungle. It's called The End of the Spear. It's a great movie, kind of gets you the story. But Jim Elliot and his friends went down there to be missionaries into these remote parts, and it's kind of a sad story because they were actually killed for being missionaries and for going to these indigenous people there in the Amazon jungle because there was conflict, there was always strife, and really it was one of those things. It's kind of a weird story because they had met one of the people group in the larger town, and you know, someone had moved out and kind of gone into the big city, and they tried to connect with them, and it was you know, they were giving them insight. This lady was giving them insight about how to reach these people, and so they would fly over with a plane, and they would drop gifts and supplies and things like that, and then they finally felt safe and secure enough to go, and they made a couple of visits if I remember correctly, and then it was one time where they showed a picture of the girl that they had met in the city, the woman, and then these people, I mean, this is back 50, 60 years ago, these people reacted to that because they'd never seen a picture, and they thought that somehow they had trapped this girl or her essence in there, and they thought that these Jim Elliot and his compatriots were their fellow missionaries had somehow done some sort of magic or some voodoo or something like that, and that's one of the reasons why they were attacked and they were killed and martyred for their faith. And so, you know, the idea is that we've got to be able to know the context of the nation that we're going to and how we might reach them, because the nations are made up of peoples. When we talk about peoples, those are the different groups of folks, right? And so we get that, don't you? Here in these United States, sometimes we're a little less united than others, right? And the folks that are in Boston, Massachusetts are going to behave and act and think differently than the people in Savannah, Georgia, which will be completely different from the folks that are in San Francisco, California. And now, while there might be similarities, there might be cultural connections and whatnot, there's just differences. I mean, here in Itasca, There's differences, you know. We've got different economic classes. We've got different kind of backgrounds. We've got people that are from town, people from out of town. We've got it all. Not to mention all of the big things like our race or our gender or our cultural meaning, our language, you know, that might separate us. All of those things as well. There's even the little intricacies of the separations that we have. And so we need to focus on how each of these folks might react, the peoples that we are interacting with, and what kind of barriers there might be with them, and be able to explain to them. And then also, too, knowing that there's the larger nation groups that kind of bring everybody together. And then knowing that the whole goal is to reach the earth, the ends of the earth. And so we have these three different focus, these recipients of our going and telling, that we need to have in our hearts and our minds, that of how we're going to reach them, how we're going to speak to them. Because what we're hoping for is three different outcomes. And they're not different because they're all one and the same, but these three outcomes we see in the passage. First, we see that there should be knowledge of God. Verse 2 of Psalm 67 says that your way, God, may be known on the earth, your saving power among all the nations. That knowledge of God and who He is and what He's done will persist in the hearts of men and women and children and to the very ends of the earth. Verse 4, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Friends, they would know about how God is fair and impartial, and that while we see nations and while we see people groups, He sees image bearers of Christ. And while we see Democrat, Republican, black, white, Spanish-speaking, non-Spanish, we see all these different separations, God does not. I mean, He recognizes them because He's the one that created the diversity, but He sees broken sinners that need to be redeemed and restored into right relationship with Him. Friends, that's what He sees. That's what we should see. We should seek to give that knowledge. We just sang about it, the story of God, the unseen things above that He has shown us here in His Word, that we might give the reason for that hope that we've sung about, that we've read about. And if we're sharing that knowledge of God with people, hopefully it's causing praise to God. Notice how that's the refrain. Let the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Worship should be and is the natural reaction of true knowledge of God. Understanding who He is. It should cause us to worship Him. It should cause us to know Him more and to want to know Him more and to sing His praises and to give Him glory. That the peoples, these little pockets of peoples that this cultural group and that cultural group and this social class and this economic class and these different, you know, ages and all these different, it doesn't matter, that they all should praise God because they know Him. And that comes with us being faithful to share that message with people and to give the reason for the hope that we have with them. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of yourselves, so that no man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He has prepared in advance for us to do. God not only sees us as image bearers that need to be redeemed and changed and saved by His grace alone, but because He saved us by His grace, He's already put into plan and practice how you and I and they might serve Him faithfully. Friends, the knowledge of God will lead to praise of God, and that praise to God would be a worship, our worship poured out. And because we're engaged in that, it will bring joy in God. Let the nations be glad, it says in verse 4, and sing for joy. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. We have to remember that joy is joy is not happiness. Happiness is included in joy, don't get me wrong. But happiness is a present understanding of the situations that I'm in, right? So when my kids are being nice to me and, you know, snuggling up to me and all those different things, that makes me happy. You know, and they tell me that they love me and all that. But when my children don't listen to my directions and, you know, do the exact opposite of what I told them or whatever, that doesn't make me happy, right? I mean, parents, you guys can, you understand that. Kiddos, you can understand how that is sometimes too, right? But as a parent, I find ultimate joy in my children because the love that I have, the gift that they are to me and to my wife, supersedes any present situation. Paul is writing his letters often from jail. Jesus was often run out of town. The disciples were thrown out regularly. The psalmists and the prophets were being put onto the outside. The temple had been destroyed. Persecution was abounding. But yet over and over and over again, we're talking of the joy that we have because of what God has done. Joy happens even in spite of our present circumstances. Because joy is not based on those circumstances. Joy is based on the promise and gift that we receive from God and God alone. Friends, joy is that bubbling over of what God is doing and showing in our lives. The knowledge of God should lead to worship, should lead to praise to God. And as we worship Him over and we see His ways and we know Him more intimately, then we ultimately have joy in Him. Friends, that's the way it works in my life. I'm most thankful for it. Why then do I hold it so close to me and don't share it? Because there's others on the outside of that who don't have a good knowledge of God. Their knowledge may be nothing or it may be broken. And so they're not praising God and they're not finding joy. Friends, we need to work towards that. I said earlier that I think that some people point to this psalm and just say it's a thanksgiving psalm of what God is doing or what He's done. Friends, the language here to me doesn't really represent that. Notice what he says here, verse 6. The earth has yielded its increase. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Notice what it says. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. There is thanksgiving and there is blessing in here, to be sure. But the psalmist here, he's crying out that this would be true. This is not true yet in the psalmist's life. He's hoping for it. And you know why I know that? Because I live and I breathe in this world. And my neighbors, my coworkers, my friends, my family, my community, my state, my nation, the very ends of the earth, they don't all praise Him. They don't all know Him. And friends, we need to work that harvest. Let the ends of the earth fear Him. We work one harvest. That one harvest is salvation in Christ. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. The psalmist here is crying out in lament that this isn't true yet. And he's hoping that it will be true. And he's asking God that it will reign, that His name and His glory would reign over the earth and they would walk in His ways. Friends, let me encourage you. Remember what Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 9. He said, "The fields are white unto the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that He will rise up workers." Friends, that's our job. That each one of us should be out there sharing the truth of the gospel. There's 7-8 billion people in the world today. And the number kind of depending on who you ask, it shifts a little bit. We'll see after the census. Maybe we'll get it all. That's just for our country, so I don't know how that works. But there's a lot of people in this world today. And if statistics are right, more than half of them do not walk with Christ. How do we combat that? How do we fix that? Let me encourage you. We're not going to get that solved in a week. We're not going to get that solved in one conversation. But let me encourage you, as we talk about witnessing and sharing the reason for our faith, that each one of us should reach one. You may not be able to save your whole family. You may not be able to save your whole job, coworkers, or your baseball team, or your classmates, or any of those things. Maybe you will. Maybe God will work for you, and that will be an amazing thing. But I know beyond any shadow of doubt that each one of us can reach one, that we can focus on one and say, Lord, I'm going to try to engage that one to know your truth, to praise you, to have joy in you. As we talk about this idea, this principle of how can we do one thing better, how can we do one step better, 1% better at a time, we talked about how we're going to, the practical side of this, that if each one of us is going to reach one, that each one of us should have one person. At the very least, we should have one person in mind. And even as I say that, I got to imagine that in your mind, a name popped up, and their face, the place where you see them, and you know, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a clerk at the gas station that you stop by to get your big gulp every day to go to work or whatever it is, and you talk to them and you guys cut up and you know that they're not in, they don't worship God, they don't know Jesus to be their Savior. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend that you've burned a bridge with, maybe it's a child who is wayward. Maybe it's a parent who just won't get on board with the faith that you have. But I know that each of us has that one person. The question is, who is that one person in your life? Name them. Talk about it. Say, that one person, I'm going to put them in the forefront of my mind and my heart, that I'm going to do everything I can to share the truth of the gospel and encourage them to walk in the ways of God. As we think about advancing onward in this and perpetually getting better, we've got to have that person in our mind that we're going to, no matter what, we're going to reach that person. And as we think about this idea of avoiding the decline and not slipping up and not, then the thing is that you have to purposefully share. That you have to on purpose. You can't just leave it to chance and maybe I'll get an opportunity. Somebody said it this way. You are more likely to talk to someone about God if first you've talked to God about that someone. If you haven't prayed for that person, if you haven't sat down, got down on your hands and knees and wept over that person that God would change them and God would save them, then that would be the first place that I would think that you would start. But maybe you're doing that. Maybe you're constantly praying for that. The question then is, how are you going to on purpose reach that person and find opportunities? Maybe it is that clerk at the gas station, and you're just, I'm gonna make sure that I, you know, give myself enough time so that I have a few moments to actually have a conversation instead of just running out of the store so quickly. Maybe it's a friend or a family member or a child, and you have to make those arrangements to say, on purpose, I'm going to do this. Maybe it's someone that you worked out at the gym with that now you don't work out anymore, but now you've got to figure out a way how you're going to make that connection. I don't know, but whatever it is in your life, you have to purpose it. Otherwise, it will never happen. And then lastly, the question is, thinking about what you know from your history with that person. Are there any obstacles in your way? Are there any obstacles in your way that you're going to have to overcome? Maybe that clerk that we've been talking about, maybe they speak a different language than you. And you need to pick up some language skills that would help you communicate with them better. Because they're not going to learn to learn to speak your language so that they can ask you about Christ. But you can sure learn their language so that you might be able to tell them about Christ. Maybe it's a friend that you've burned a bridge with and you had a row with and you're no longer together. And you're going to have to do that work of mending those fences before you can even get to that point of sharing the truth of the gospel. Maybe it's a friend that because of the pandemic, you used to be together all the time at work and sitting at the table or desk across from each other, and now you're all the way separated. And the only time you talk is Zoom or whatever it is, these online meetings. You've got to figure out, how am I going to get past that? Friends, these are the kinds of things that we should be thinking about. It's not enough to say, oh yeah, just old Joe, old Sally, I want them to know Jesus. I hope that it happens. And if I ever get a chance to, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Friends, I like the sentiment of that, and I hope that that's the start. But we need something deeper. Think about what it took. Heaven and earth had to move so that you could have the truth of God's salvation in your heart. You realize that? That wasn't an accident. That wasn't your grandparent had the purpose to sit you down on their knee. That Sunday school director had to spend hours preparing to speak to you, your parent, whatever the situation was. Heaven and earth had to move so that you could hear the truth of the gospel. Friends, sometimes we're going to have to move heaven and earth to be able to share the gospel. Each one of us should be reaching one. Friends, we may not be able to save all 7 billion of them. And the truth of the matter is, we can't even save that one. It's all up to the Holy Spirit. But if we're faithful, if we are willing to work and willing to put in the time and the energy and purpose in our hearts to engage and share the truth with that one person, I think amazing things could happen. Here in Itasca, we've got 1,600 or so people living, right? In all of Hill County, we've got about 32,000 people. Friends, look around at our churches today. It's not filled. There's thousands and thousands of people. They might not all be here next week, but if each one of us works on that one, maybe in a year's time, a month's time, who knows how long, we'll be double, because that's what happens. When each one reaches one and that one walks, then you know, 1 + 1 = 2, then we double, you know? And then we get to work again and say, oh, there's one more, right? Because as I said, each one of us reach one, that one name came in, but then you're, oh yeah, there's also that other person. There's also that other one. Friends, there's plenty of work to be done, but if we just hope that it's going to happen or say that, man, we want it to happen, that's, look, our purpose is to bring glory to God. And if that is our purpose, then we must go and tell that you have to get out and do it. Each one of us, reach one for the glory of God, that many would walk in his ways, imitating his Son, being filled with the Spirit, serving his kingdom, that his glory would be known, and that sin and shame would be beaten back into submission, and that the nations would fear him, and the peoples would praise his name and worship. It's going to happen one way or another. Let's try to get as many people as we can on that side, where they're enjoying that praising him, instead of on the opposite side of it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would help us to make these things true in our hearts and lives. Lord, I know beyond any shadow of any doubts that each person here, each one of us, knows at least one person, and we're already thinking about them, and our stomach may be even turning in knots as we think about, I don't want to open up that can of worms or whatever it is. Lord, I pray that you would help us to move heaven and earth, to get to the point where we see them as a fellow image bearer of God that needs to walk in your ways. May we purpose in our hearts and lives to get the outcomes that we talked about, the harvest, salvation in your Son Jesus, that they would know you, they would praise you, and they would find joy in you. I pray, Lord, that this would be true for each of us, that we would be willing to share the truth of the gospel, each one of us reaching one. May this be, may this come to pass and come to life. May it start with us. May it start with me. We ask these things, and in your Son's name, amen.